You know, I'm not really sure why, but whenever I've thought about John 3:16, I've always had this picture in my head of Jesus standing in front of a large crowd, speaking to the masses. I had no idea, however, that it was actually said to one man. One man who had no idea what the heck Jesus was talking about. Forget that you've heard this verse a bazillion times before, and let's look at it with new eyes. It's all coming up today on She Read It Herself. Hi. Hi. Oh, how are you? Are you doing well, my sweet friend? I'm doing pretty good, I've gotta say. I cannot believe that this is our 20th episode. How on earth did we already do 20 episodes of She Read It Herself? I honestly feel like it was just yesterday that I was so nervous to record my first one, and even more nervous to actually put it out there to the world. Hey, I'm starting a podcast. Oh yeah, and it's totally a Christian podcast. And we're just going to read the Bible. It's turned out to be so much more than that though, hasn't it? And I gotta say, I am so glad that we did this together. Every time I get a message from you guys saying that you are reading the Bible along, it just, well, it warms my heart, but it more just feels like, okay, God, I can see now why you kept tapping on my heart to do this. And well, I'm so excited. I'm so excited and so proud of how far we've come, and very excited at the thought of how much more we're going to do. If you are new here, welcome. I'm Natasha. As I kind of mentioned, She Read It Herself as a podcast for the girl who has kind of sucked at reading her Bible. She has wanted to probably, but she's always thought of it as boring or just not applicable to the modern world we live in. Well, we are shaking that all aside, and we are just taking a couple of verses at a time and really studying the words and seeing how easy it is to apply it to our everyday lives. I mean, my mind was blown that I could have such a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God just from reading a few verses at a time. We've been getting a lot out of these verses. We've been going through the book of John, and now we have landed at the most famous verse in all of Christianity, John 3:16. And I don't know about you, but if you've been going through these last few episodes, you know we've just met Nicodemus, and as we were going through meeting this new guy, I was completely surprised to see that that's where John 3:16 lands in the Bible. I don't know why. I always pictured it as Jesus speaking to the masses, or, you know, having all of his disciples around, and that's where he says this profound verse. But in actuality, he says it to one man, to one Pharisee. And as we just finished doing in our last episode, it's one Pharisee who is having a very hard time thinking not with his literal brain, but with the spirit. And that's where John 3:16 comes into it. So as we go through these next few verses, let's try and see if maybe we can see it like Nicodemus did. Maybe we can see it with virgin eyes. Let's talk all about what it could mean, but let's do it like it's the first time we've heard it, and not the verse that we could regurgitate forwards and backwards a million different ways. So we're picking up in John 3, verse 9, and just a little recap. As I mentioned, it's Nicodemus, and he is a Pharisee, and he has come to Jesus in the middle of the night. I can only guess he came in the middle of the night because he is a Pharisee. And at this time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were starting to hear rumblings about Jesus, and they weren't too keen on the idea of this guy being the Son of God, this guy doing all these signs and miracles in God's name. And I think it threatened them a little bit, but there was something. But there was something that stirred inside of Nicodemus, something made him want to come and see more. He was just curious enough to seek out Jesus and see what he had to say. Now, Jesus has been talking with Nicodemus. They've been going back and forth. Jesus has been trying to explain to him what it means to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. And bro is just not getting it. He's thinking with his literal brain, to the point that he actually says, should we have a child go back into its mother's womb and be birthed again? A verse that any woman who has gone through childbirth shudders at the thought of. And Jesus is like, no, no. And that's where we are right now. In verse time, Nicodemus says again, how can this be? After Jesus told him about being born again. And in verse 10, it almost seems like maybe Jesus scolds Nicodemus a little bit. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you do not understand these things? Side note, the Greek word there for you is actually the plural form. So he's not just speaking directly to Nicodemus, he's speaking of all of the teachers of Israel that just are not getting it. Verse 11, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? He's referring to the testimony of John the Baptist, of the disciples of Jesus, speaking to the signs that they have seen. He's trying to get to say, Nicodemus, you don't even believe with your literal brain that you seem to be stuck in, that what I'm saying is true, even though you have this evidence in front of you. How are you going to understand if I speak to you of heavenly things? So this is where it starts to get good. Jesus tries again to get through to Nicodemus, and he does it by referencing a prophecy. Verse 13, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Now let's pause there a second. Just to make sure what we get what Jesus is referencing. I don't know about you, but I had to go look it up. Jesus is referring to Numbers 21 verses 4 through 9, a reference that Nicodemus surely would have understood. And he's trying to get him to see that that prophecy was for Jesus. At this time in the book of Numbers, the people went to Moses for help because, well, they were being infiltrated with poisonous snakes. Yes, you heard me right. And Moses consulted with God. God then instructed Moses to make an image of a snake and mount it on a pole. Anyone who looked at the snake was cured from their bite and lived. I know. It's one of those references that sounds a little kooky, but hang with me there because it's actually quite meaningful. This event was meant to foreshadow the sacrifice of Christ. The people in Numbers 21 were suffering. They were suffering from these snake bites, but it was a result of their own failings. This plague of snakes was because of their own evil choices, and the end result was death. Their only hope was to trust in something beyond themselves. This idea of being healed simply by looking at the bronze snake, it left no doubt in them that it was God's power, not their own, that brought healing. They couldn't save themselves. They had to entrust their faith in something that had nothing to do with them, and it just happened to be a bronzen snake. But don't get distracted by that. In Jesus' attempt to get Nicodemus to understand, he uses this reference. Because really, y'all, it is the same way with us. People suffer as a result of sin. Romans 5:12, and the end of the result is death, Romans 6:23. So the penalty of sin is death. But the only hope is trusting in something beyond ourselves. The fact that salvation comes entirely by faith It leaves no doubt we can't earn our redemption. The people weren't saved because of their works. They were saved by a gift from God. It's a pretty cool little side note, huh? But now, let's get to the big verse. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Let's go back to verse 16 before we dive into the rest of it. I have heard that verse more times than I can count in my life, and if I'm being honest, it's probably lost its meaning over the years. These verses that we've been reading in John, some are familiar, but being able to actually read them for the first time, really study them, it's been a really cool experience. It's like, wow, I didn't know this about the Bible, but this verse is one that we know all too well. But what if we could just pretend for a minute to see it as Nicodemus did, with new eyes, the first time we've ever heard it? Let's look at it the same way we break down other scripture that we haven't read before. Now, what would you say is the overwhelming theme of not just verse 16, but 17 and 18 also? In my opinion, it's love. The verse that is perhaps the most famous and most recited verse in all of Christianity is just oozing with love. I mean, that first part, it's kind of obvious. For God so loved the world. He made this incredible sacrifice, his one and only Son. And I think sometimes, at least for myself, I've taken for granted just how much God really did love Jesus. How big of a sacrifice that was. We think of Jesus as being a part of God, you know, the Trinity and everything, but what if we could put just some blinders on and think about how much God loved Jesus? This morning I was doing my own little quiet time Bible study that I try to do every day, and I was reading in John chapter 16, and it's the night before Jesus is arrested, and he takes some time by himself to pray. I mean, these are the prayers that he gives before the end. And he prays three prayers. He prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all of the believers, us. And do you know what he repeats over and over? That we would have God's love just as God loved Jesus himself. He talks about God's incredible love for him, for Jesus. And he asks that as much as he knows the Father loves him, that we would feel that love from God. So when we talk about God loving us so much that he gave Jesus, it's a big deal. God loved and dwelled in Jesus more than we can comprehend. And he gave that up out of his love for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. And why? So that we could have eternal life, and not just eternal life, but a chance to know him. No more separation between us and God the Father. Now what else? Let's take a look at verse 17. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world, but to save it, in order that the world might be saved through him. God is acting out of that love, that massive, inconceivable amount of pure love. It wasn't like we read in Numbers where God sent a bunch of poisonous snakes because he was condemning the sins of the people. This time he sent us salvation. He sent us a chance. He sent us his love. It's such an incomprehensible gift. And truly, in all the times that I recited John 3:16 and Sunday school or Bible study. I can't think of a time that I really sat down just to think about how amazing that love is. Now, as much as I like to focus on all the love that just comes out of all the verses we've been reading in the book of John, we do need to focus on 18 through 21, and it's not exactly all rainbows, butterflies, and kumbaya. But it is what Jesus included in this little nutshell of our faith that he's given to Nicodemus. Verse 18 is pretty clear. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. In verse 19, it says the verdict. Another translation of that Greek word is the judgment. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The world has a choice to make: accept the light or choose to stay in the darkness. Were you here when we did episode 4, all about the light and the darkness? If not, let me give you the 20-second recap because it relates to this. The author of John explains to us that the light and the darkness cannot both be at the same time. When we choose to stay in the darkness instead of the light, it's because in the darkness, a light can't be shown on sin. When I think back to the times that I was living a life where I was kind of dancing back and forth between the light and the darkness before I really committed to my faith, I didn't consciously realize at the time that what I was doing is I was avoiding the Bible and I was avoiding church because I didn't want it to bring forward the sins in my life that I wasn't quite ready to give up on. I didn't want the light to shine on that darkness. I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, I mean, it makes sense. Verse 20 says it pretty simply. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. Can you think of a time in your life where you avoided the light shining on something in your life that was your darkness? Maybe it was avoiding telling a Christian family member or friend about something that was going on in your life, maybe sleeping with the guy you were dating or drinking or, I mean, who knows what it could be. We all have sins that we're not quite ready to give up on yet. And I love that this verse made me realize when I'm doing that, when I'm avoiding reading my Bible, going to church, telling the truth to my friends that are going to hold me accountable in my faith, it's because I'm not quite ready yet for the light to be shown on that darkness. But remember, the light and the darkness cannot exist at the same time. We cannot fully commit to the light, fully commit to deepening our relationship with God by studying our Bible, by praying in a personal and deliberate way, if we aren't willing to let the light look at every aspect of our life. In what we've been learning about Jesus, I love that he always gives hope. He always gives a way out. He gives love. And after he's gone through these judgments, that's exactly how he ends his message to Nicodemus, with hope. Verse 21, but those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. It's not for me to say when anyone should come to the light, when it is their time, when they are ready. And that's it. That's the end of the conversation with Nicodemus, at least what's recorded here. We have this perfect, beautiful nutshell of our faith. I don't mean to oversimplify it, but it really is just a handful of verses. But they say so much. As we wrap up and I leave you today, I hope that you're able to just take a few minutes, find a quiet moment to yourself, and read these verses for yourself. I've mentioned this before, but you know, what works for me is before I sit down to read verses for myself, I always pray that the Holy Spirit would shine a light on what He's trying to tell me that day, to carve out anything in me that doesn't expect to hear directly from God. So when you sit down to go over these verses for yourself, because remember, she read it herself, is about reading it for yourself. Don't just take what I got out of it. See what God has to directly tell you. But I hope when you sit down to do that with these verses, you're able to see John 3:16 in maybe a new way. Maybe the way that you saw it the first time you heard it. And hopefully the way Nicodemus finally got it through his thick skull. Thank you for taking this time with me. Thank you for this 20th episode. If you have enjoyed these, all I ask is you do two things. One, share it with a female friend, a fellow woman of faith, because I really, desperately want to grow this community of all of us incredible mothers and fierce women reading scripture for ourselves, deciding for ourselves, and living our lives in accordance with what we've read for ourselves, not what we've been preached to. So share it with another woman and click that follow button so you get episodes as soon as they come out. Because sometimes I'm not always the best at doing Tuesdays and Thursdays. I try to, but I'm a single mom of three, so sometimes life gets in the way. So click that button, that way you don't miss an episode. And if you have 2 seconds, please do a quick review. Apple Podcast will boost me up in their suggestions that they give other women, if apparently if you have a bunch of subscribers and positive reviews. So I'm mooching off of you to get myself out there with other women who really need to be reading their Bible for themselves. Okay, that's it. That's all I have for you. I hope you have an incredible day and you leave here lightened with the Spirit. Much love, my beautiful friend. Bye.